This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth. The puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Welcome back to the Alternative Media on the Public Broadcasting Network. We're up on the second hour. This is your show for Saturday, September 22nd, 2018. I'm your guest host, Jeremy, from the beautiful bluegrass state of Kentucky. And we had a very interesting first hour discussing some news, and we had a good caller, Mark from Philly, and also we were joined by Dr. Patrick Slattery, who I was honored to take his call, and he had a lot of good insight. This hour, I wanted to interview William from Montana. Some of you may have heard of him. I know a lot of this audience listens to National Bugle Radio, which broadcasts on RBN during the week. And William has been around for a while. I don't think he minds me saying that. I know that he remembers the 60s vividly, and he has a lot of good insight. I like to talk to people that remembered those times because I wasn't even born then, so I have to read about it retrospectively. But mainly I was wanting to interview William because I breached the subject a few months ago on this show of Alexander Dugin, Russian philosopher. And he has some very interesting works. I approached Dugin in a very critical manner, and I'm always critical of people that I read about that's new to me. I think we should all be critical. But on things concerning Mr. Dugin and Russia, I would consider William, as far as I know, one of the, you know, I would say an expert, at least someone who's much more knowledgeable than I am on this topic. And we're going to bring William on in a minute. But I guess some things that maybe we would be discussing today would be, who is Dugin? I covered that a little bit when I brought him up the last time. But what are his politics? What are the geopolitics? And what role is he playing in Russia today? And then I also wanted to maybe cover Dugin's prediction or his writings on how basically identity politics in the West would play out. So without further commentary, I want to bring on William from Montana. William, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Dobre utro, or good morning. Forgive me, I've been poring over a bunch of Dugin's writings in Russian today, and that's always a grueling process for me because Dugin's Russian is way beyond my ability to easily translate. He's a very deep thinker. He's enormously precise with his words. That's one of the things that he really emphasizes. And he has a very different idea about how things should be organized. For those people that don't know that much about Alexander Dugin, he was a very long time. I mean, he's been producing works in philosophy and geopolitics for decades, and he was the former head of the Department of Sociology of International Relations at Moscow State University, and he, the West really latched onto him, and if you trace back some of the first comments about Dugin in the Western press, And it actually happened before it made it to the press. It was in a bunch of these foreign affairs journals where people in the West really felt threatened by this guy. And they felt threatened by him because, first, he was very well-read, very intelligent, and he had an amazing command of history. And that's one of the things in the West that we're... You know, our education system pretty much tries to tell us that you know, well, yeah, you need to know a little about American history, but, you know, all that stuff about Russian history and Central European history and the history of the Balkan states and the history of the Middle East and all those countries around the Black Sea is really just too difficult to understand, so let's not even go into it. And they have painted him, I mean, if you go to Wikipedia, which I don't ever recommend going to Wikipedia for almost anything, but if you go there, you'll get a great outline of just how fearful certain establishments in the West are of this man. And they've tried to paint him in all the most negative ways. You know, they've tried to say that he's the Kremlin's top ideologue, which I know for a fact that that's not actually true. Alexander Dugin does he is well known in Russia, and he really foments a lot of deep civic discussion and dialogue, but in terms of having an official relationship with the Kremlin and in particular with Putin, that's a little bit of a stretch. It's not like the Kremlin and Putin is not aware of Alexander Dugin, but to be portrayed as, I mean, and there's a couple sensational headlines in Western press where they talked about he was the brain, he was Putin's brain. And they also tried to sort of associate, since we don't know very much about Russian history, I think many of us have heard at least the name Rasputin. And this is a really, this guy was a Russian mystic and self-proclaimed holy man who befriended the Tsar Nicholas II's family, and he was the last monarch of Russia, and gained a bunch of influence, and he was quite off the wall. I mean, he was a real wacko and a bit crazy. And so the Western press latched upon this, and they particularly loved the name Rasputin, you know, like Rasputin, get it, Rasputin, Putin. And they tried to portray Dugin as this crazy Russian religious mystic who has gotten control of Putin and is trying to wreak havoc on the Western world. And that is such a, I mean, that's so farcical when you actually understand what Dugin is about. But that was how it was portrayed, and this was all part of this program of Russia phobia. You know, it was like saying these people are evil at their core, and Putin, even though he looks like a nice guy, he really is under the influence of this sort of mad Alexander Dugin. So that's how it's been portrayed. But if you go into Dugin's philosophy and geopolitics, he is very, it's very interesting, especially for people who are trying to come to grips with what it means to be a nationalist. You know, like if you are a nationalist, if you believe in white Christian values, you know, immediately in the West, especially in this sort of, you know, very acute liberal, this liberalism of the West, you're considered a white racist. You're considered a white supremacist. You're considered all these bad, you know, adjectives are applied to you because you believe that, you know, you really want to preserve your own race. And Dugin speaks to this in a very direct, you know, a very, very direct way. And one of the things that Dugin, you know, talks about is that he says, you know, like you know, there's a big difference between Western multiculturalism and what he calls multi-civilizational diversity. And the distinction that he makes is very interesting because he says, you know, in Western multiculturalism, the goal is to erase, is to see everything as being the same. You know, we're all just one happy family. And if anyone stands up and says, no, I don't want to mix, you know, then they are demonized. But in Dugin's philosophy of multi-civilizational diversity, he comes out and says, he believes in a multipolar world, you know, where this whole, you know, globalism or Western multiculturalism says eventually the goal is to make us all one, which means to erase all these distinctions. And so there you don't have, you know, one of the great things, if you can eliminate all the family distinctions and you have a much more controllable herd. You know, they can't go back and say, oh, I remember my family used to, well, your family doesn't count anymore. We're just all one big happy family. And Dugin says that this is one of the big problems with the West, is that they, you know, believe that everything is the same, you know, or everything should be the same, you know. And he talks about the West of saying, you know, these Western liberal traits really kind of hide a type of deep-seated racism, because they see everything that isn't Western, you know, as substandard or in need of repair, or they need some more democracy, or they need for the West to choose their leaders just to make sure things don't get out of control. And Dugin says that, you know, and I think this is where a lot of people who are really getting into, you know, nationalism, one of the things that Dugin, one of the reasons why they try to demonize him, is that he really speaks to the fact that, you know, like Russia, you know, from his point of view, Russia doesn't want liberal democracy. You know, I mean, that's almost like a sacrilege. I mean, why not? Liberal democracy is the greatest, isn't it? He said, instead, Russia wants a new form of patriotism. You know, they want to see the value that existed in the Russian people, you know, before this whole Bolshevik, you know, supposedly rising up the working class to overthrow Tsarist Russia, when if you and I and most of the people listening understand that, you know, that whole communist revolution really didn't have much to do with the Russian people, that this was something that came in from the West, you know, with the usual suspects leading the charge. And he says that, you know, one of the things that he's trying to do, along with other people, he's not the only one who's doing this in Russia, is to define what is called in Russian, you know, Ruskaya idea, which is the Russian idea. And when the fall of the Soviet Union, after that, we had a mess in when Yeltsin took over. And Yeltsin, you know, talk about meddling in politics or meddling in elections. You know, Yeltsin was basically put into office, you know, by the Jewish oligarchs in Russia, and with the help, liberal help from, you know, the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton, and it was basically a fixed election. And when Yeltsin got in there, he basically was completely taken over by the Jewish oligarchs, which were the ones that came up after the fall of the Soviet Union and basically bought everything, you know, a penny on the dollar. And and the Russian, while the Russian people were starving, you know, these Jewish oligarchs basically took over the wealth of Russia. And so eventually Yeltsin, because he was a puppet of these Jewish oligarchs, started running into a lot of opposition from his own people. And he tried to start, like, oh, we need to think about what we need to become. And this was, you know, there was another group of people that he tried to, thinkers and politicians that he tried to get together to try to say, well, what are we going to become after communism, after the fall of communism? You know, how are we going to direct our state? And, of course, under Yeltsin, that didn't go anywhere because there was so much confusion and so much interference from the West. All of a sudden, you know, we know, if you know some of the Russian history, you know that a Yeltsin sort of tapped Putin, Vladimir Putin, to become the new Prime Minister of Russia. And what started happening then was the Russian people, through Putin's, you know, influence, started breaking away, trying to break this stranglehold that this, you know, the Jewish oligarchs had on Russia. And you started seeing a breakaway from that, and you started seeing this new concept, which is called the Ruskaya idea, which Dugin really was very much instrumental, like I say, along with many other people, of trying to say, how do we get back to the real Russian spirit before this Bolshevik revolution and before these wars, World War One, World War Two, you know, which really, you know, set the Russians, you know, the Russian state, so-called, you know, the Soviet Union, against the West. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, and the Russian Federation appeared, many people in the West have not been able to make that transition. You know, they still, you know, like the people in Poland, the people in Germany, many of those people are saying the Russians are still commies. You know, they still tried to kill us, and they're bad. And we need to align with NATO. We need to align with the West. And what happened was there are many people, you know, like Viktor Orban and many others who are starting to say, you know what, there's a big difference between Russians, Russia, and the Bolshevik Soviet Union. And they know that because they're closer. They know more about history. They know they've seen this up close. They experienced it. And they can make the distinction. And that's the thing that Dugin has really helped, is to sort of, you know, separate the Russian Federation from this previous, very disastrous period of the communist Soviet Union. So that's basically, you know, kind of an intro of how I see Dugin. If you have any questions, I can take it where you want it to go.
Yeah, that's interesting. We are going to come up on a break probably here really quick, but it's interesting that you can actually translate Russian, which means that you can go straight to the transcripts of Russian news and get directly what is going on in Russia, and you can read the works of Dugin and read what he has to say about himself unfiltered from the Western press. So I find that's why I wanted your commentary on this.
It certainly helps, because even with my really poor Russian, you know, if I just spent hours and hours and hours going back and forth, making sure I really know what's being said, it's amazing how different the Russian mind is from, you know, what we would consider, well, aren't we all the same? Well, they have some very, very distinctions that get missed in translation. Talk about later.
Leonard Skinner means we're up on a break. We'll on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Alternative Media. Jeremy, your guest host, with William from Montana. We'll see you after the break.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander Lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Welcome back to the Alternative Media. Saturday, September 22nd, 2018, we're on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky, interviewing William from Montana. Wow, it just always reminds me of that Farron and I grew up in the same era. When I hear the music, bumper music he plays, I think about us rocking out in the 80s with our ripped jeans. But we're talking about a very important subject here with William Alexander Dugan. And maybe some of you aren't familiar and you're like, well, why do we care? Well, this individual is very important in Russia right now. Russia is very important to us right now in the news and in what's going on in the world. And if we went to World War III over Syria, you know, Russia would be a key player. This is important stuff to us. And I just wanted to unpack some of what Alexander Dugan's philosophies are, what his how his politics read out, and William has been a very, very wealthy source of information on this. And then I did have a couple of questions based on your introduction. You know, in telling us about Dugan's politics, you touched on his Eurasian concept a little bit, and I used to think maybe that was a globalist thing, but it does not sound like it's globalist to me. If he's talking about multi-civilizational versus multiculturalism of the West, it doesn't sound like the same thing at all. It sounds like a very different concept. But my question would be, with Russia's interest in the Ukraine and the events in Georgia, in the last 10 years or so, would you say that Russia is somewhat following Dugin's geopolitical model?
Well, like one of the things that needs to be, the West paints this guy as an evil man and that he's in control. But, I know from doing a lot of reading that there's two or three dozen other very important thinkers. So this isn't a monolithic, one shoe fits all. And the amount of diversity in political thinking in Russia is unbelievable, especially when you look at the Western press. I mean, you think of, Putin's got them all under control and there's no opposition and he suppresses it. But I read the Russian press every day, and I can tell you that there is more discussion and varied ideas being bounced around and really discussed in detail than there is in the West. I mean, we are in a straitjacket. I mean, you talked about in the first part of the program of just how we're under fire. I mean, not only are peoples whose voices are being heard are being suppressed, but even someone talking about somebody who was suppressed can get suppressed. So there's a straitjacket in thinking, it's something that many people in the West wouldn't understand. But the varied discussion about how things should happen and what is of value in Russia, I see a lot more openness there than I do in the Western press. I wanted to talk to you talk specifically. I translated something this morning from his writings, and it's interesting that it talks about globalism. And he said, "I reject the idea of globalism and ethnocentrism can be used interchangeable." He said, that's a mistake. He said, "I can venerate and prefer my own race and culture without looking down on others or wanting to replace them." And he said, that's the difference between Eurasianism and globalism. Globalism, wants to make everyone the same. They want to bring everyone under, some type of hegemony. When the fall of the Soviet Union, the neocons pretty much said, we won, and therefore we've got to step up to the plate. And we just have to take over. We are the unipolar power in the world, and we must take advantage of this. Well, much to the surprise of the neocons, Russia bounced back under Putin much faster than anyone could have predicted. And one of the things that Dugin says about this distinction, he said, the Western view, the one thing that's inherent in the West or Western civilization, their understanding of the rest of the world, is that they regard all other people they encounter as all the same. And in some, and often, mostly, they also consider them in some way inferior to the West. And so the way the West views this is that, so they need our help, or they need our control. And what Dugin's position is, the Eurasian position, is saying that, look, there is a lot of different cultures, and we must have a multipolar world. We can't have a unipolar world.
Interesting, and let's carry that on after the break. Republic Broadcasting Network, Alternative Media.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the show. Alternative Media, your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky. We're on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm interviewing William from Montana on the Russian philosopher and professor Alexander Dugin. You've given us a lot of stuff, William. We're going to be running out of time soon, and I know there's not even nowhere near enough time to give this subject its due coverage. But we just wanted to hit the highlights, and I did have one more maybe controversial question, if I can get you to answer that one. And then maybe after this little segment, we can take a couple of calls, if you're willing to field some calls. And I apologize to the audience. We've taken a lot of time, but I wanted to cover this, and we're not going to have lots of time for calls. But if you got a question or two for William, it's 1-800-313-9443. Now, my question is, you know, in the Western press, Dugin has been quoted as calling for the genocide of Ukraine. And anybody that Googles those words, they'll find this quote. I wonder if you could address that, and where is he coming from, and what's his stance on the Ukraine, and specifically that statement?
Yeah, that's just completely ridiculous. I can probably almost track that back to this Journal of Foreign Affairs, which is a real, you know, know, sort of neocon mouthpiece. You know, they needed, you know, the way I got, you know, 3 years ago, I got into learning Russian because I was really bothered by the 2014 thing that happened in the Ukraine. And the more I dug into it, the more I pulled my hair out because something just wasn't happening. I mean, it didn't make sense. This wasn't a uprising of the Ukrainian people to throw off the terrible Viktor Yanukovych. You know, it was, you know, what was Yanukovych's biggest crime? His biggest crime is he stated that Ukraine, once they got their freedom, one of the things that he wanted to do was to make sure that it remained neutral. He said, I want to use Europe and NATO and Russia for the defense of Ukrainians. And that was what got, you know, Victoria Nuland and the CIA in gear, and they basically staged a coup d'etat and kicked Viktor Yanukovych out and proclaimed that this was a democratic rising up of the people, a democratic freedom-loving revolution, when it could be nothing more could be, you know, different from what that comment would indicate. And so Dugin, when he made statements, and he didn't make that specific statement, if you look at the Russian, it didn't say that specifically, but what he did say was, if you look at the corruption and the destruction and the puppet-like behaviors of the Poroshenko government in Ukraine, this has to be overthrown. You know, he wasn't talking about, I mean, a good portion of the Ukrainian people are actually ethnic Russians. This was especially true for the, you know, peninsula of Crimea. They were predominantly Russian. And so he wasn't saying, I want to destroy the Ukraine, but he did say that it was necessary for this complete puppet government in the Ukraine to be, you know, taken out, because this is the way. I mean, one of the reasons why Yanukovych was trying to steer a neutral course was he knew that Ukraine for the last 70, 80, 90 years has been a battlefield. It's been a football. It's been basically used as a place where a proxy could be waged against the Russians. And so when Dugin was making statements like that, he wasn't saying, I think the Ukrainian people need to be destroyed. He was talking specifically about this completely artificial, implanted government, this corrupt government of Poroshenko, and the atrocities that Poroshenko has visited upon the ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. I mean, it's basically, you know, he's been using weapons from the West to basically try to exterminate civilian, unarmed civilian populations in the eastern part of the Ukraine. So that was what Dugin was particularly talking about. But, of course, the Western press will take that and say, you know, he's for the annihilation of the Ukrainians. He also wants to completely annihilate the West. And if you really listen to his actual words, you know, he said one of the things is that the West can't understand what it means to be another. You know, they see otherness as something that needs to be supplanted. And he said that, you know, when Russia or Putin proposes something, some goal or some form of government, some values that are different from the West, that's not a threat. That's not meant as a threat. That's just meant as we reserve the right to stand up and choose our own morality, our own science, our own geopolitics, and to try to steer a course that benefits the Russian people. You know, there's nothing wrong in that, but when you have this concept of exceptionalism or the unipolar right to dictate to the world, you know, how they do their lives and who they elect as their officials, that when you have that, you see any country or any people standing up and talking about their dedication and allegiance to their own people, however that's defined, that's seen in the West as an offense. And that's that's where he makes the distinction between this sort of multiculturalism and this multipolar, multi-civilizational approach. And so that for me, that answers the question that no, he isn't trying. He didn't say we should exterminate the Ukrainians, but he did say that if we don't take out this puppet government that is wreaking havoc on everyone and being a proxy for an attack against the Russians, then the whole world is going to be at risk.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of the misquoting of the Iranian government saying we want to wipe out Israel, and the United States, Hannity, doesn't miss an opportunity to tell us that that's what they said. But David Duke actually talked to the Iranian government. He said that's a misquote, and they were against Zionism and the Zionist powers in Israel and the U.S. being the strong arm, and they were misquoted. It really reminds me of that now that you've explained it.
And you've raised the question of, you know, is Dugin in cahoots with the Jews, if you want to use that type of, because he has Jewish people in his Eurasian movement. Well, one of the things that Dugin's philosophy really emphasizes is there is actually a place, when you posit the value of a multipolar world, the whole Eurasian project or concept is not that you it's not like Soviet expansionism. It's not like Eurasia will be like this monolithic top-down government entity, but the Eurasian is the concept is that you unite the peoples of this huge landmass that's contiguous. That's where the geopolitics comes in. And you do it while preserving these national states. I mean, it's not like a monolithic, Soviet idea. It's like, the Germans will be Germans. The Swedes will be Swedes. They have a right. The white Russian will be a white Russian. And he says that, when he talks about, these nationalist movements in Europe and the United States, he said that's not racism. That's just people coming together and saying we are intimate with the values and virtues of our parents and our own people, and we have a right to pay, allegiance to that. There's nothing wrong with that. That wisdom that is a part of every racial group, it's okay to celebrate. And so that's where he says, yes, probably there would be a place for a Zionist state, but he makes a big distinction. He said, but this does not mean that we will accept when they try to enforce their values on us. That's breaking the law of Dugin's concept of multi-civilizational diversity. You can't impose that on others. And so a nationalist group, in Dugin's view, is perfectly legitimate.
Well, good. And we got a couple of callers. We're running really short on time, and I apologize, callers, but I want to get you both in. I've got Lark from Texas, and William, if you're up for some questions, let's try to make it a quick, concise question and a quick, concise answer, and we can get both people on because we've got Mike from Kentucky on hold as well.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Lark from Texas, you're up.
Good morning, Jeremy, and good morning, William. It's nice to hear you all talking about this. I'll be brief. I'll be 1 minute, and then I'll jump off. Interestingly, what we've learned in our own history is, of course, we have the Reef Committee investigations that didn't really happen back in the 50s, I believe, which revealed the ultimate aims of these tax-free foundations in this country. And we know the role of the American Jews in the Bolshevik Revolution. So let's not fall asleep and think that for 1 minute that the Jews relinquished control of Russia with the so-called fall of the Soviet Union. The word that used to be quite in fashion was the word convergence. And so what we're witnessing today is the converging of the capitalist countries and the communist countries into one single rulable or governable entity. And so what we have to be cognizant of is the nation state, whether we like it or not, the nation state is giving way to the globalized, global to local market state, which in turn is giving rise to the regionalized city state. And finally, I'll leave you this Russian word. And I hope we can continue this conversation because it's fascinating about Dugin. Dugin's a communitarian. Type his name in the search engine along with that word, communitarian. If you don't know what a communitarian is, type in what is a communitarian or what the communitarians stand for. It's a third way position. And the operative word here today is the Russian word upravlenie. And you can learn about this word, and I'll spell it, at a website called InvisibleSurfsCaller.com. This is a securities attorney that writes about education policy, and she's witnessed, she's documented the superimposition of communitarian law over and upon all national laws, and also the bringing together of the education systems of places like China and India and the Soviet Union with America. And the word is spelled U as in university, P as in Paul, R, E, V as in Victor, L, E, N as in Nancy, I, Y, E. Upravlenie, and it means simply the steering or control of a society. And it goes, frankly, if you read the articles at Robin's site that I referenced, it'll come together, and I think it would be a useful topic for further discussion down the road. But it goes also to this word cybernetics. And the Macy Conferences post-World War II, the work of Norbert Wiener, the human use of human beings. And that's what we're seeing today. So anyway, this is a great discussion, and I wish we had more time, but thanks for letting me weigh in.
Yeah, thanks for your call, William. Go ahead and do your best with that one. That was a lot of stuff, I know.
Well, one of the things that, this is a very, very complex issue. It's not something you can just do a soundbite on. I really appreciate Lark's work. He brings up a lot of good questions, and that's really what we need. We need to have a real civic discussion of these issues. I personally feel I really see a big break in Putin's government from this type of control. And you can say, well, yeah, but there's still Jews in Russia. Well, that's true. And there are rich oligarchs still in Russia. But there's a lot less of them than there was when Putin took over. They have hightailed it to London. They've hightailed it to Israel. They've hightailed it to Cyprus, hightailed it to the United States. And one of the things that I've seen Putin do in the last 4 or 5 months is he's really socked it to these international banking establishments in Russia. I mean, he just came out with a law that said for 15 banks, and almost all of them you could say are Jewish controlled. And he said, if you're going to do business in Russia, you're not going to be a conduit for pumping Russian wealth out of the country. And they said, look, we need to have this international liquidity, and you can't do that. But he was very firm in that. And as I've pointed out on other shows, just in the last little bit, there were a few Jewish oligarchs that were really put the screws on and lost literally overnight $1.5 billion because Putin is saying, we're going to tax you. We're not going to let you have this this big wealth that you gained during the fall of the Soviet Union and keep it for your own personal benefit.
All right, we're coming up on the break. We'll be back after the break with more from William from Montana and Mike from Kentucky after the break.
Who I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy Cleanse, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the Energy Cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the Energy Cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
He was born in the Bitterroot Valley in the early morning rain. Wild geese over the water, heading north and home again. Bringing a warm wind from the south, bringing the first taste of the spring. His mother took him to her breast, softly she did sing. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for brother.
Welcome back to the Alternative Media.
Wild Montana skies.
The Public Broadcasting Network. And I picked that song out just for you, William. That's my favorite John Denver song. I did take a break in the 80s from metal. to listen to the 70s songwriters. Unlike Patrick Slattery, I did not frequent Donna Summer's concerts, but I did love some John Denver when I wanted to mellow out. So we got Mike from Kentucky. I apologize to both of you for having to rush you into this last couple of minutes of the show, but Mike, hit us with a question, and William, see, do your best to answer it, and I appreciate you, your commentary. Go ahead, Mike.
That's easier to take since I found out you know, not in bed with Donna Summer. Yeah, that was meant to be humor. But there was, what was it, 100 years ago, the Jewish Encyclopedia had a brag in it about the keepers of the papal treasure, financial puppet strings over the Vatican, is the Rothschild banks. It's 100 and some years ago. And, you know, it goes, dates back prior to the Russian Revolution. But I've seen some of these maps on the emerging mega regions, and that does seem to be a plan, decades-long plan, like Lark was talking about. You can go back and watch the original Rollerball with James Caan, where that's all you had. You didn't have national governments. You had huge city-states. And there's a lot of intimate connection between the tech sector in Israel and this Talpiot program. There's a huge amount of ethnic Russians down there in Israel working in the tech sector, and so you get the impression that they've got the globalist plans, or for some kind of globalist system, is coming from that direction. It's not really. It's been, the West is being manipulated into that, I think, with the Jewish folks behind it, and of course they've got their their connections in there to try to pull strings with Russia. But that plane that just came down the other day, it took them quite a while before Russia was actually going to blame Israel for it. You get this idea that there's Russia some playing public relations or whatever. They don't want to point fingers at Israel a whole lot with some of this. I don't know, what's your impression in the last few months on that? It seems like the Russians are denying, the Jewish meddling.
I think that, and this has been a subject that I have looked into deeply, I've taken a lot of information from some very, very interesting political commentators in the Russian press, and one of the things they say is that if you give Bibi Netanyahu enough rope, he never disappoints you in hanging himself. And
oh, yeah, and 9/11 was good for Israel, although it wasn't good.
Yeah. But and like I basically say that, the Israelis will be the last to know that they are not being believed anymore.
That's all the time we got, guys. Hey, I appreciate it, William, so much. We're going to do a longer show with you next time. All right, people. You want it? God bless
you.
America.
Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild Montana sky.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.